Christian Parenting.
Welcome to Pardon the Mess. I'm your host, Courtney DeFeo, and on this podcast, we talk about raising kids as Christian parents. It's so very important for me to honor God with my family and the two kids that He's given me, but honestly, it's not always neat or easy or tidy, but it's always worth it. So join us every week to laugh and learn together on this beautiful and messy journey of parenting. Important that our kids understand their identity in Christ, because the world around us tells our kids a lot of things about who they are. But as believing parents, we know one thing to be true. We were made in God's image and we were created for a purpose. Have you ever wondered, how do I talk to my kid about the topic of identity? It feels overwhelming and complicated and confusing. Or how do I weave scripture around conversations about faith, identity, and purpose into your everyday life? Well, Identity Simplified is the resource you need. Identity Simplified is Christian parenting's newest digital guide that includes some of the best articles, podcasts, and videos on topics like, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? How does our identity in Christ change our purpose? What does the Bible say about sexual identity or gender identity? And how do we treat others? And much more. You'll find conversation guides, discussion starters, and script to use with your kids. And since the guide is digital, you can download it straight to your phone or computer and then search through those resources whenever you need. There's a lot of information out there and it can feel like a big topic. And we hope that this guide will help you in your everyday life as you and your family question the culture around you, your identity in Christ, and much more. You can go to cpgive.org to download your copy for just $5. That's the best of the best resources from top Christian parenting contributors for just $5. And again, that's cpgive.org. And let me ask you a favor. Let me know what you think. Email us, DM us over at Christian Parenting or Pardon the Mess, and tell us how this resource helped you or some of our other digital guides out there. There's a lot on the website. We hope they bless you and your family. Okay, friends, I was totally geeked out, like in awe, that I got to have a conversation with Cint Marshall, the CEO of the Dallas Mavericks. I got to hear her speak recently, and I walked away thinking, wow, she's one of the most dynamic and fun and faith-filled leaders I had been around in a long time. And so I think you're going to love her. You'll hear everything from her story when Mark Cuban called her for the job, to her growing up years and the strong mom that she had to get her through some really painful moments in her childhood. And then she'll move on to her own parenting advice, and you will just love it. Let me read to you what T.D. Jakes said as an endorsement for her book, and I couldn't agree more. He said, Cint Marshall has more spirit and energy than any other woman I've ever met. Everyone needs to read You've Been Chosen, her newest book, and learn Marshall's story. It will ignite your soul and change your life. I couldn't agree more. So enjoy this time with Cint Marshall. Okay, Cint Marshall, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little fired up. Welcome to Pardon the Mess.
Let's do it, sister.
Okay, first really important question. Everywhere you go, you have on great glasses. And I'm in that stage of life where I have like 55 TJ Maxx pairs.
Yes.
And I need to graduate to like some grown-up glasses. So what's your tip? Any certain brand, or you just buy them wherever you go?
I just buy them wherever I go. But the older I get, the bigger I want them. Okay. And so I went to get some new glasses, and I ended up getting 5 pair because I couldn't decide. Yeah. You know, I need different colors. But yeah, when I got these, as I was leaving the store, and they're really light. Okay. So they're really light. They're actually wooden. Okay. And when I was leaving the store, they said, okay, do you know whose glasses you're wearing? You have? Oh. I said, who? And they said, Oprah.
Yes.
Said, Oprah is wearing my glasses? Wait.
Yeah. That's what. Oprah copied Cint Marshall is what I
said. I said, oh Lord. I said, well, I like them then. And I hadn't seen her in them. And of course, after I got them, I recognized that she was in them. But they're really light. And that's what I like about them. And I have just all kind of different color glasses. I was actually on my way going through an airport over the weekend and saw these big glasses. So I'm going to turn those into sunglasses. So I had to get them. They're like,
oh,
huge.
That's smart.
I had to get
them. I've just discovered this summer that you can get sunglasses that have like the lens in there. So this has changed my life. Instead of like doubling up readers, sunglasses, there are sunglasses that are readers. What?
Exactly. And I have I'm going to take them and go and get my prescription in them. Because I just couldn't resist the frame. And then I got my kids some. They're like, Mom, we don't need any more sunglasses. I said, I know, but you just have to have them. Because that's where I can like really do my style. Because I mean, I wear glasses. I don't wear contacts. I wear prescription lenses. But I got to be fly. Okay.
So. Yes, you are. You are. Well, speaking of your children, I formally introduced you in the beginning on our intro, but I would love for people to get to know your family. Where are you in life right now besides running the Mavericks? What are you up to these days?
Yes. Okay. So what am I up to? I'm still being mommy every day. And I love that. It will happen, I guess, for the rest of my life, for their lives, what, you know, however it goes down. Yes. I love these four people. They are, let's see, they range from, 25, 28, 31, and 40. And wow. In fact, my oldest just got married in May. And so I describe them as two daddy's girls, two mama's boys. But honestly, all four of them they just belong to both of us. They're just wonderful young people. And I love just helping them kind of get through life. They call all the time. In fact, my 31-year-old is on his way right now from Southern California to spend the weekend with us. We just like pouring into them. And frankly, I like them pouring into us too, kind of keeping us on top of what's the latest and what's relevant. But it's, it's a fun time in life because, I'm 63 years old and I think I figured it all out. And it's just a good time in life to give back, to give to them and their friends. So that's what I'm up to. I'm just up to giving back. I call it, I work every day. You know, I got a basketball team to run. But I call it books, boards, better, and basketball. I'm on corporate board, so I spend time with that. I try to make things better by doing my nonprofit stuff. And I got a whole lot of nonprofit stuff going on, but primarily focused on permanence and stability for our kids and women's issues and empowering girls and that kind of stuff. Of course, I wrote a book, but now I'm thinking about writing another one because people keep saying, we want the book on leadership. I'm like, well, y'all just hold on a minute. Okay.
My husband gets all kinds of treats at the airline, and he walked in one day, and I'm always like, what'd you get today? What freebies? And he's like, I got this book by St. Marshall. I'm like, hand me that. So I loved it. And then, as luck would have it, just a few weeks after that, I saw you do a keynote at a global leadership event, and I was in love. I thought, this woman is hilarious. You're incredible. Crazy. And you're so funny. But what I noticed about you is you are – obviously, you wouldn't be a CEO of a basketball team if you couldn't command leadership, get on the stage, and make change. But it was so obvious how much you love the individual person.
Yes.
Like you really see people. So where did that come from? Like, is it God? Did you grow up that way?
Well, it actually, I do believe it is God. I mean, I have a genuine love for people that I only think can come from Him. I mean, to truly love them the way, I try to love people the way, Christ loved us. Okay. Mm-hmm. And just to pour into them, to listen to them, to learn from them, to be there for them, and to know that my job as a leader is to serve them. That is my biggest job, is to serve people, to understand what their dreams and aspirations are for their families, for their lives, and to try to make that happen. Because, I mean, people show up to work. I mean, it's a means to an end. And so they're trying to have a better life. And my job for all the people who the Lord has blessed and entrusted to me, is to serve them and to make all that happen. And so I genuinely love people. And I think it came from watching my mother, who genuinely loves people, growing up in church and understanding what the love of God and is all about, which is truly loving people. I mean, that's the first thing we need to do. And so I just really think it came from my upbringing and a spiritual background and understanding truly why we are put on this earth, or at least I think I know why I'm put on this earth.
Yes. Yes. Well, give some advice to the parent, and maybe they're staying at home with their kids, or maybe they're in a job like yours, but people can be overwhelming and really annoying, frankly. So you ask for all these people and then there's too many of them. So how do you balance that heart with, you have a lot of kids, you have a lot of employees, you have a lot of ministries. Is it overwhelming? How do you do it?
Okay. So what I do, first of all, just trying to, just the practical aspect of trying to balance all my priorities and all that, I use something called crystal balls and rubber balls. And it's something I heard a long time ago. And crystal, those are the things that you can, and in fact, I keep it right here in my office. I got one right here. So I keep it in my office at home, my office at work. And so all the different priorities and things that are coming at me, I say, is this crystal? Is this something that if I drop it right now, if it shatters, it will never come back? And so if the answer is yes, which usually the answer, most of the times the answer is not yes, because most things aren't crystal. But there are some things you just cannot drop. And so then I have my rubber ball. And I have a bunch of rubber balls. I only have one crystal ball, but usually I keep like three or four rubber balls in the office or right near me. And, you know, they'll bounce back. So I'll say, okay, you know, I'll throw it with this one, bounce away, and somebody else will grab it, and I'll never see it again because it's really not mine to do. Okay. Or is it something that will bounce back later, or something that it'll just roll away and never come back because it was not even meant to be done. And so... Mm-hmm. That's how I evaluate my priorities and all that. And people think, okay, the kids are always crystal. The kids are not always crystal. because, you know, I had a situation one time where I was asked to do something in Washington, D.C. for AT&T. They wanted me there all week to help them out. I said, I'll be there all week to help you out except for Wednesday afternoon because my son has his first high school swim meet. In a new school, new state, all that. And so when I got to DC on Monday, I got the schedule. The most important legislators they wanted me to meet with were on Wednesday afternoon.
Of course. Yeah.
And they could not believe that I kept saying, I'm not going to be here. And one guy said, Sin, it's a swim meet. I said, no, it's not any old swim meet. It is the first high school swim meet for my boy. In a new school, in a new state, I will be there. Yeah. And so when my baby looked up to look for his dad and his sister, when he was in the water getting ready to do that individual medley race, he saw his mama. And I am convinced to this day that boy won that individual medley race because his mama was in the stands.
Yeah.
And then we had dinner. And the next morning I flew back to Washington, D.C. Now, if it had been practice, maybe his second swim meet, I would have missed it. Because, you know, you got to like figure out, you know, you got to get it all done, but not that particular one. It was crystal. So I try to look at that kind of stuff.
And then, I love that the rubber ball, I'm going to remember that because I think that bouncing it and let someone else pick. Some of these I pick up that no one even asked me to, and I make them my responsibility and I want to help, but God's like, I didn't need you for that one.
Right. Because I got somebody else to do it, sister. And that's what you have to think about. What is it that you have to do? I heard someone yesterday talk about this guy, his CEO, and he would actually say, what is it that the CEO has to do? It's a decision the CEO has to make. Like nobody else can do this except him. And then that's how he would prioritize his activities. And I said, I like that. I'm going to throw that in with my crystal ball, a rubber ball. Because there's always a lot to do. There's always a lot to do and a lot that you want to do, but you can't do it all. You're only one person. You can't have it
all. Put that in your next leadership book. Add that to chapter two. Okay. I want to go back to the moment Mark Cuban called you because it cracked me up. I heard you tell the story and you're like, do my kids need money? So tell us how that phone call went down.
Okay. So I'm, you know, I retired from AT&T after 36 years, started my own consulting company. I just so happened to be working at home that week in my sweats and I'm just kind of chilling, talking to my clients and my cell phone is going off. And I thought it was one of my kids needing money. I mean, I got four kids. One was in college. I mean, they're just at that age. And, you know, I'm a real busy woman. So they knew that they don't have to call me to say, okay, mom, here's what's going on. Here's what I need. I tell them, I don't have time for all that. Who shot John? Okay. I don't have time for all that. Just send me a text message, put in the number. I got you. And then we can square up and talk about it later. So I thought that's what was going on. And so I handed my husband the phone. I said, one of the kids need money. Take care of it. He came back a few minutes later and he said, hang up that call. You have to call your client back. He says, this dude doesn't need any money. Mark Cuban is trying to reach you. Okay, don't judge me, sister. I didn't know who he was.
I said, who?
He says, Mark Cuban. I said, who is that? I honestly didn't know who he was. Okay. And so he just kind of rolled his eyes because my husband is used to that. Okay. It's like a lot of stuff I know and I'm smart, but it's a lot of stuff I don't know. And so then he calls my son in LA and says, you need to convince your mom to call this guy back because I was with my client. I wasn't going to do it. So anyway, I ended up talking to Mark he wanted me to come and visit with him at 2:00. I told him I could not do it because I was having a mammogram at 2:00. Okay. And I learned the hard way what happens when you put your medical business on hold and you don't make it a priority. And I'm sure we'll talk about that. And so he was very, very gracious. And I ended up meeting with him later that day. And he told me about all this stuff that was going on at the Mavs, things that were coming out based on a Sports Illustrated article. And was just genuine about wanting to transform the culture and provide new leadership for his the business side of his organization. And I talked to him for about 55 minutes, asked a lot of questions. I told him I would go home and pray about it because I really didn't know if I wanted to do it. I mean, based on kind of where I was in my life and all that. And then two women stopped me as I was leaving his office and said they wanted to talk to me. I kind of looked at him. He motioned, please talk to him, because he was just trying to talk to everybody, trying to respond to all the employees. And I talked to them and they told me their stories and said, we need you here. Mark had already, I guess, told the group about me and I was coming to talk to him and all that. And they used the word impact. They said, we think you can really impact us. And the word impact got me because that very morning, this is how the Lord works. That very morning, I had written a blog and posted it entitled Impact.
Wow.
And it was crazy. They used that word. I was like, oh my goodness, I just wrote that this morning.
Have you guys heard of the online learning program called IXL? My kids were actually required to do IXL as a part of their school, and they would roll their eyes when it was time. But I think they would tell you years later, and I would tell you, that it really worked and it helped them so much. They received the help they needed in subjects where they were struggling. And I know other parents at our school that used it for their kids that are ahead and they weren't getting challenged enough in the classroom. IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum and your child's classroom learning. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting it to each child. It meets them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. And the best part is IXL is easy for parents. Don't we need that? One site gets you all you need, and IXL customizes learning for each child in your family and their specific needs. IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, and it makes it simple to find activities for the exact skills that you are covering. It also offers instant feedback and explanations of the topics as the kids use the program, which is super helpful. So you can feel confident as a parent that your kids will gain an understanding of the skills they are learning. Make an impact today on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And pardon the mess, listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. You probably know Avocado Green Mattress for their certified organic mattresses. I've been talking about that lately, but did you know they also make unbelievably breathable natural bedding? From soft organic cotton sheets to light as air silk and lofty down duvets, their bedding is designed to naturally regulate your temperature and keep you cool, comfy, and sleeping soundly all night long. So listen up, hot sleepers, this one's for you. This bedding is perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months. Hello, Texas summer. Avocado sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable, and they help regulate your temperature so you can sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. And just like those mattresses, avocado bedding is crafted from renewable, biodegradable materials with the highest social and environmental standards, so it's better for you and better for the planet. And beyond that sustainability, this bedding is designed to deliver luxurious comfort that will have you looking forward to crawling into your bed every night. Head on over to avocadomattress.com to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better.
And I wrote it that morning because, and it was February 21st, 2018. I wrote it that morning because these teenagers were protesting in Parkland, Florida because of gun rights and, you know, violence and all that and what had happened at their school. And then the Reverend Dr. Billy Graham had passed away at 99 years old. And I'm watching the news that morning and I'm just kind of broken and emotional. And I'm thinking about the fact that age-wise, I am smack dab in the middle of these teenagers and this 99-year-old.
Wow.
And they're both impacting my life that morning. And the word impact just came to me. And I just kind of went into a space. I prayed about it and I wrote a blog and posted it called Impact. That was that morning. Wow. And here it is now that evening. These women are saying, we think you can really come in and impact us. We need you.
Wow.
So I went home, prayed about it, Went back the next morning. I was in the building for 3 hours before Mark even knew I was there, because from the time I walked in, the employees pulled me in a conference room and just started talking to me. So it was real clear that the Lord was saying, here is where I want your next impact to be and what I want you to do. And I'm all about what he wants me to do. Just, it's about him. Whatever he says, even if I don't quite understand it, of course, because I didn't know the business of basketball. So I wouldn't have just like heard about this job and like gone for it. Just the opposite. If I had heard about it, I would have said, psh, but that's not even me. But the Lord said something else.
It's incredible. Let me ask you this. I'm watching you be 100% yourself and not shy away from your faith. What would you say to someone that's in the corporate world that's like, maybe they feel like they have to hide their beliefs or like almost separate those? Like, that's for my weekend or that's for my week. How do you do that in such a powerful way?
I can't separate it, okay? The best decision I ever made in my life is when I got baptized at 17 years old. Wow. And, you know, I tell people often, because I've raised teenagers, so I know they make bad decisions. I made a good decision as a teenager, and I made some bad ones too. But that one decision that Sunday was a good decision when I asked the Lord to take over my life. And so I can't separate it. It's truly who I am. Now, I don't go around, you know, baptizing people at work or laying hands on them. I mean, if they ask me to pray for them, I will, but I don't go around doing that. But it is a part of who I am. And so, I mean, I had a boss one time told me to stop using the word blessed and all that kind of stuff. And I turned down a big promotion because that was on her laundry list, because that's just who I am. And so I don't believe you have to go around and you flaunt it and all that, but it is really just who I am. And if I tell somebody, okay, I need to go home and pray about that, because that's what I am going to do. And sometimes people are intrigued. They're like, tell me more about that. I mean, how does that work and all that? And so I will, I had a boss one time, he'd call and he'd say, you got a minute? And at first I'd say, yeah, and I'd run up to his office, and then he'd say, you got your Bible in your purse? I need you to pray with me about something.
Wow.
And I wouldn't have my Bible in my purse, because I keep it, wherever I work, like the right-hand side, I have a little credenza, the top drawer, my Bible is in there. And it's a Bible that someone gave me when I left California. The California group gave me a Bible that said, thanks for being our Esther. And so since then, I have carried that Bible around with me. So I don't just keep it in my purse, right? And so I told him, I said, no, if you want me to come and pray with you about something, you need to tell me so I can put the Bible in my purse. I just don't walk around with it, like at work. But it's just who I am. And so I think you have to, it's authenticity. And when I got to the Mavs, we laid out a set of values that spells crafts: character, respect, authenticity, fairness, teamwork, and safety. And our hashtag for authenticity is hashtag do you. So everybody has to do them. And part of me is, I am a woman of faith. And so I might just say something like, I got to go home and pray about it. Not because I want you to know that I'm a praying person. I mean, hopefully you know that just by how I live. Okay. That's what I'm going to do. And so I'm not going to hide what I'm going to do or who I am. It's like somebody saying, I got to go to the gym. Okay, well, that's great. Now, I could probably look at them and tell they work out and they go to the gym, but that's just what they're going to do. And so they say it. So I should be able to say, I'm going to go home and pray about it. So it's just who I am. I can't separate it. If somebody, and I don't know people. I mean, honestly, I've been in the workforce since I was 21 years old. So for 42 years, with the exception of someone telling me not to use the word blessed and use the word lucky, I can't think of a time where somebody just challenged me on being a woman of faith or a Christian.
That's amazing.
It's just not, And
then everybody hung up and went and applied for the Mavericks. That's just what's going to happen after. Like, how many openings do you have over there? Let's shift to your cancer story. Okay. I won't make it about me, but we just went through the craziest adventure with Ron in December over pancreatic cancer.
Ooh.
Thanks to an executive scan at the Cooper Clinic. They found it super early, and we are incredibly blessed. But
praise
it's
God.
Very close to my heart.
Praise
so
God.
So tell me
I love
about
the Cooper
your
Clinic,
journey.
By the way, I love the Cooper Clinic.
Isn't that incredible? Oh. Isn't that incredible?
When I first moved to Dallas, AT&T had it set up. All of the executives could go if they wanted to. And I spent a day there, and your spouse could do it. My husband spent a day there. I've never seen anything like it, honestly.
I know.
It was incredible. Thank God for the scan, though. And my cancer was discovered through a corporate athlete session at AT&T, where they asked us to think about something we could do to improve either our physical, mental, or emotional health. And my mental and spiritual health. My mental and spiritual, they were off the charts good, but physical was kind of okay. And I thought about it. I said, well, I don't really think my exercise. I just, you know, I had stopped eating my fried chicken and ding dongs. I'm like, okay, I'm eating pretty healthy. Okay. So I can't think of anything. And then, but they pressed us. They kept saying, you got to choose one thing in your lowest category. And then I thought about this referral slip that I had gotten from my doctor over a year ago for to get a colonoscopy. Uh-huh. Now, when I got the referral slip, I have to admit, I put it on my nightstand never to do anything with it. I mean, I didn't really know what a colonoscopy was. It's just like, I didn't need it. Okay. Like I was doing.
Nor does it sound fun. That doesn't sound fun.
I had my annual physical. I went to the dentist. I went to the ophthalmologist. So I had my routine, right? And every December, because my birthday is on December 15th. So it's around Christmas time. So that's just my time where I get, you know, like totally, you know, together physically. Along with all my little holiday outfits and all that. So, because, you know, I got to look good. So I said, okay, I'll get it done. And so I had an accountability buddy, my little friend, my buddy in New Jersey. He called me every morning, Frank Jules, with his New Jersey accent. He'd always catch me going through the Starbucks line. And he'd say, hey, you get that thing done, girl? You get that thing done? And I'm like, stop calling me. I'll get it done. So I actually got my colonoscopy the day before my 51st birthday.
Wow.
So technically in compliance, I guess I was still 50, but I was told to get one before 50, yeah. But I didn't. And then on my 51st birthday, I got a call from the gastroenterologist saying, I'm sure your husband told you and showed you the pictures. I said, yeah. He says, I need you to get to a surgeon right away. I don't like what I saw. Wow. And he couldn't say it was cancerous because, of course, he's not the oncologist. He's the gastroenterologist. But he said, I need you to get to a surgeon. Hmm. And the rest is history. I mean, I ended up being diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer.
Wow.
One lymph node from stage 4. Had the surgery. The doctor actually didn't think the tumor was cancerous, but I wouldn't put off the surgery. He said we could put it off for a couple of months. I'm like, uh-uh. Because now that I know this tumor is in me, it's nasty. To me, it was like growing every day. I mean, it's like I could almost see it. So I said, no, we got to get this out. And then when I had the surgery, it was over the holidays, so December 20th. And, you know, my kids are, you know, they were very, and they still are active in church. And so I said, I got to get to the play. My boy is home from college. He's in the worship, you know, group, and, you know, got the Christmas play. And so I had surgery, left the hospital like as soon as I could leave. The doctor said he didn't think it was cancerous. I said, well, no, I want the pathology report because something was just nagging at me, right? And then he ended up calling me the day before New Year's Eve. And he said, I'll never forget these words. He said, I have bad news. He says, I have news for you. Are you sitting down? It's bad and it's significant. Mm. And that's when he gave me the news. It was heavy.
Yeah.
It was honestly like the only true out of body experience I've had in my life. And I've gone through a lot. I mean, I've had 4 second trimester miscarriages, a daughter who died at 6 months old, a husband who got brain damage and they said he'd never walk and talk again. Wow. You know, my mom, we had a lot of stuff going on with domestic violence. My father broke my nose at 15. I mean, I could tell you a whole lot of stuff, but I could tell you a lot of great stuff too, how the Lord brought us through all of that. But this was the first time I truly felt like I had an out of body experience. Like he was not talking to me.
Yeah.
Cancer? I'm like, oh no. And so, we prayed about it. We got the plan together. I called my mom immediately and my mother would not participate in the pity party that I was trying to have. And I mean, I was trying to have it too. Okay. Cause I was devastated. And so my husband saw me crying and I was on another phone when the doctor called me on the house phone. So I dropped my cell phone and I'm a mess because I'll be having this out of body experience. I'll be shocked. So then my husband is crying. So he's joined the pity party. So that was good. So then I said, cause you know, like now we've been married 40 years, but like he knows to join the party. So then I called my mom. And I said, I told her what the doctor said. My mother refused to go into the pity party.
Wow.
She says, honey, this is for his glory. God will get the glory out of this. All sickness is not unto death. She started quoting scripture. She was upbeat. She says, now we're going to get to plan together. You will tell this story one day. You have a high profile job. He's going to use you. And she just started just like speaking the word, which at the time I did not want to hear it. I was like, we're supposed to be crying and like devastated and like, what are we going to do? Let me jump on a plane. She wasn't going there. And she basically told me I had been chosen for this and let's get through it and do what we need to do so we could tell the story of the goodness of God and how he brought us through cancer. That's immediately where she went. And then so I had to get myself together. I'm like, okay, well, I mean, obviously we're not having a pity party right now. And my husband's looking, and I said, we got this. And so I told him what my mother said, and he was just looking at me. And friends came over, my pastor came over, and just by the grace of God and some great, great medical care and just all of it, that was, 12 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You look fantastic.
God is so good. He's so
good. And what an amazing mom. I just remember you sharing about your history and just think, wow.
She's a woman of faith.
Strong lady.
Yeah. I mean, when people ask me about resilience and all that, I'm telling you, I have a very strong mother. And I still have that strong mother. And she gave us a foundation of faith. I always joke about the fact that my mother put two books in my hand at an early age. She put a math book in one hand and a Bible in the other, probably in that order.
Yeah.
And told me to keep my head in these two books and I'd be okay.
Wow.
And would make it out. And at that time, I didn't know out was out of, you know, poverty and, you know, some of the circumstances. But she gave me a foundation, which is what I have tried to do with my kids. And I just think as a parent, there are only two things I can really give my children that matter. Mm. I can give them a lot of stuff and they have a lot of stuff. Okay. They got too much stuff, just like me. But there are only two things I can really give my kids that matter. That's a foundation in Christ and a good education.
Yes.
Because no matter what, nobody can take away what's in their head, what's in their heart, and the hope and faith that they have that there is something working that's bigger than them. And they don't have to carry it all. They don't have to try to control it all, that there is a release. And so that's what I've tried to do for these four wonderful kids who the Lord blessed me to adopt, who have their own abandonment, neglect, and abuse stories, but the Lord rescued them. And so I said, if I can give them a good foundation in Christ, so they'll never give up hope and they know, you know, what they're living, truly living for and everything that goes with it, how to treat people, all that. And I give them a good education, whatever that looks like. So they'll always have, you know, have that to fall back on that nobody can take away from them.
Yeah.
That's all I can really give them. I mean, the cars and all this other stuff they have, it really doesn't matter. Those two things I think matter. And so that's all I've ever tried to give my kids. And they know that. They will tell you that. Because sometimes they'll ask for something. And I say, look, you know the two things I think I really need to give you. They go, yeah, Mom. A foundation in Christ and a good education. But like, can I have like the Nintendo or whatever it was at the time?
That's not on my list. That's not on my list.
Because
Let me ask you this. I have a lot of friends that are educators, and it's just broken my heart how beat down they are over the last few years with COVID. And I think parents are crazier than ever, and we're pummeling our teachers. So I know they have a special place in your heart. So speak to the educator on why you are where you are in part to them.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I think educators are the most wonderful people on the planet. Every time I give a speech, I have them stand up, former and current, and I make the audience applaud them because three teachers and a principal saved my life. Mm-hmm. When my father broke my nose at 15 years old, it was the same summer that we had to flee our house for safety purposes because my mom and dad got a divorce. It was ugly. It was violent, all that. We had to flee our house. When the police allowed us to come back home, my father had taken just about everything. Mm-hmm. My mother told us to be quiet, calm down, that all she wanted was peace of mind and the Lord would take care of us. Wow. I had a brace up my nose. I was 15. I was going to go back to school to be the head cheerleader at my high school. I was a junior in high school. And my mom made us go back. She wouldn't let me stay home because I had this brace up my nose. She said, nope. You know, we got to keep going. We got to keep going. And so when I went back to school cheering with that big brace on my nose, which of course is not normal. I'm trying to act like it's normal, but it's not normal. Okay. And so three teachers and a principal embraced me. They wanted to know what was going on. They embraced my mom. They knew she had a desire for her kids to just do great things in life, to go to college, all that. And our zip code didn't matter. And I love that about educators because your zip code doesn't matter to them. They care about you as a person. And these people just got me on a path for college and they got me involved in all kind of activities and just everything. And I ended up graduating at the top of my school district and I got five full scholarships to the college of my choice and chose the number one public institution in the world, the University of California at Berkeley. And it was all because of these educators who poured into me, who didn't care about my zip code, who didn't care about our circumstances, who saw my mother as this wonderful person wanting something for her kids and saw me as this talented kid that they wanted to help do something great in life. And so I sit here today, all the different awards and all this stuff I get. I said, you know what? Sometimes I'll write a little note and try to find one of my teachers. I owe it all to, you know, the grace of God, a great mother and my educators. Wow. And these teachers, and I was with some educators yesterday, and I was just, in fact, I posted something on them this morning. One of our legendary players, Michael Finley, has a foundation, and his foundation is focused on educational success for kids. And so I was one of their speakers yesterday, and I got a chance to spend time with these teachers who are given their time in the summer to help these kids succeed. And I was just in tears when I left there. I said, and you know, I always call educators Homeland Security. Yes. I said, they're the real Homeland Security. They're the ones securing our future. Now the Homeland, the real Homeland Security people, they do that too. But what our educators do, that's just as important. They are securing our future, my future workforce, our future neighbors, our future doctors. They're doing it. And they're doing it with very little resources, which is just very sad. Okay. They're doing it with very little resources, very little pay, but they're doing it because they love our children. I used to tell my kids when they were in school, because I, you know, I always take the first day of school off, the second day of school off, and the last day of school off. So I kind of fake out the teachers. They think I'm going to be around. Right? but that's not why I did it. I did it because I want to partner with the teachers. I want to see what's going on with the kids the first couple of days of school. And then I give them the little speech and I look at my kids and I say, I believe everything your teachers say. So that's the starting point. No drama. You represent us. You do what they tell you to do. And if for some reason we end up with one who's kind of, you know, a little bit off, I'll deal with that. But the starting point is I'm with the teacher.
I love it.
And so it has worked out. I love, you know, I love educators. I mean, and so I try to do what I can to just help them out. If I hear a school district or some teachers that are just, they don't have the resources. And that's what I love about being at the Mavs too. We do a lot to help with back to school, to help teachers throughout the year. We actually adopted a school, a Dale Turner Elementary School. Wow. We literally adopted the school. So everything they need. I mean, everything. I mean, we come alongside them and we're getting ready to add a middle school and a high school this year. But it's also a personal thing for me as well as a work thing. We got to take care of our educators. I love them so much.
Amazing. Thank you for that. All right. Last question. I could do this for like 3 hours. So it's really bad. I have your contact information. I'm like, hey, can I come over?
Come over. I'm right here. I'm home this weekend.
But as you think about the moms listening, there's moms with toddlers, babies, high schoolers, empty nesters, and we're all exhausted and think we're not doing enough. We're blaming ourselves that, you know, and so I love that you said math book and Bible, but what would be your last encouragement to a group of parents and specifically moms that are just wiped out?
I would, first of all, I would say, just step back and realize what a blessing it is to have these little honeys. Coming from someone who had 4 second trimester miscarriages, a daughter who died at 6 months old, wow. It is a blessing to have them running around. Unfortunately, I ended up, building my family through the way God meant for me to build it. But to have them running around, to have them annoying you, to have that activity grind, all that stuff that wipes you out is a blessing.
Yes.
Because there are people who don't have that, who want to have it. And the Lord puts these little honeys, I believe he gives us these little honeys, like he does that. And so he has entrusted these kids to you, and you won't get it right every day. You're not perfect. They're not perfect. I mean, nobody is, but somehow the Lord has put that family together, and when you pray about it, he'll make it work. And what I would also say is, do life with the village. I mean, there's a village of men and women who are raising kids. You cannot do this by yourself.
Yeah.
I would never hesitate to pull in other people, to have people helping out with daycare. I'd pull in the whole doggone village. Like right now, I plan this big vacation, and every year it gets bigger and bigger. And I try to get, and the people on it are people who are just doing life with me and trying to help out. But it's getting bigger and bigger because I draw on more and more people, because we can't do it by ourselves. And then to take that time, I try to practice every day what I call my hour of power. And it's before everybody gets up. And so it's 20 minutes focused on my spirit. I call it my PMS, because everybody needs PMS, physical, mental, and spiritual health. So it's about 20 minutes I start off with the spiritual piece. And so just praying and all that. I'll read my Jesus Calling book, which, I mean, I got them all over the house.
Yes.
And then, so I'll just have my time. Then I will do my exercise for 20 minutes. Yeah. And then 20 minutes of just reading something or listening to a podcast or something. And that's just my time. And part of my prayer that at that time is, Lord, keep me centered throughout the day. Let me say the things I need to say. When my kids were in the house, let me have grace with my kids. Don't let me say anything that's going to hurt them or scar them for life. Might hurt them for a second because they need it, but don't let me do anything that's going to hurt them for life. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to like be a good influence on these little monsters, but because it's hard. I mean, it's just, especially those teenage years when the van pulls up to the house and at 14 and a half and sucks out all the brain cells.
Yeah.
And then the van doesn't come back until 20 and a half. Okay. So when you go through those years, like you really have to pray and rely on other people. Have other people pouring to your kids. Always have that person that you know they'll listen to when it's not you. Don't try to do it all by yourself. And then also realize, especially these days, there's so much going on with these kids. They have challenges, and they are in a world very different from the one that I grew up in. And to recognize that, and don't hesitate to give them the help that they need early. And even if you can't afford it, there are different services and all that. Don't shy away from therapy, and definitely don't shy away from youth groups and the pastors and the people who are there at church and there in these organizations to pour into these kids. Use the village. Use the village. And don't think you make mistakes. I mean, people say a lot, I know I made a mistake with my kids. I know I did this. And I'll tell you this one story, then I'll hang up. So one time my daughter, Shirley, well, as you know, the kids, they have all these drawings and you put all this stuff in the refrigerator, right?
Yeah.
So my husband knew that, like, when he'd pick them up and they'd give him a little something, that it goes in the refrigerator so we can celebrate it. So one day I come in from work and my daughter has a picture up there, and it's only my daughter was 3 people in the picture. So I'm trying to figure out, who are these 3 people? Because at the time it was 4 of us in the house. And so I look at the refrigerator and I said, Shirley, who's just on the picture? Because I honestly couldn't figure it out. She goes, that's me, that's Dad, that's Anthony. And I said, where's Mom? And she says, you were on a work trip in Washington, D.C.
Stop.
And I said, okay, so let me get this right. Because I'm on a work trip, I don't get to be in the picture? She says, no. Now, some people would have been devastated, right? I wasn't. I said, oh, hold on a minute. Because, you know, it was on the refrigerator. I said, open up the refrigerator. And my daughter... she loves cheese sticks. I mean, from the time we adopted her, cheese sticks, right? So I knew it was something in there. I said, open up the refrigerator. She opened it up. And I said, show me what you like in there. She pointed to the cheese sticks. I said, how do you think those cheese sticks get in there? I said, you know how to get in there? Because I go to Washington, D.C. And so I just have to check the little girl, right?
Hilarious.
So her eyes got big and she says, oh. I said, so don't leave mommy out of the picture, okay?
Yes.
Because mommy is putting the stuff in this refrigerator that this picture is on. She goes,
yes.
Okay. So the next time she did a picture, she had me with this long flowing hair, these heels on. The whole thing was so cute. I'm like, you don't get to leave me out of the picture. I got to do what I got to do. And so that's my advice, especially to the moms and the dads. You got to do what you got to do.
Yes,
and don't let the little honeys put guilt on you, nothing like that. We're all doing the best we can. And we just pray and ask God to help us raise these little ones to be fine people who love him. That's all we can do.
Oh my goodness. Sent. I just want to thank you. I know that your day is way more complicated than most of us. And I just cannot. This was impact. And you truly impacted me and the people that will listen. So I'm going to end. It just came to my heart. And so in the book, I'm going to not ruin the story, but I need y'all to go get it because she tells a story about Obama and how in a moment she got to pray for him and then he got to pray for her. And so I would love, and it's hilarious, so you got to go read it, but I would love to just end praying for you if that's all right.
Oh, I would love that.
Lord, oh my goodness, this lady, you knew the day she was born where she would head. And I'm so thankful that you've put her in so many positions of leadership and even within her own home that she's the mom of these honeys and that you're using her to impact hundreds of thousands of people through her work. And I thank you for her actual heart for people, her authenticity, the way she leads. And I'm just incredibly grateful. So I pray that you'll continue to bless her work and her family in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, amen. Thank you, sister. Thank you. I needed that.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for being here so much.
Love you, baby.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Pardon the Mess. As always, we've got more encouragement and resources over at christianparenting.org. And you can also stay connected with us on social media at Pardon the Mess. And if you like this episode, I'd love for you to do two things. Press follow on whatever podcast platform you love, and also be sure to leave a rating so other parents can find us. Remember, you're never alone in this beautiful mess of parenting.
What's standing between you and your first sale on Shopify? Time, expertise, resources? What if you could multiply all three? Product descriptions? Done. Store insights? Delivered. 2 a.m. customer questions? Handled instantly. Entrepreneurs on Shopify are reaching their first sale faster with AI that works with you. Go to shopify.com/firstsale to see how entrepreneurs use AI to grow their businesses faster. That's shopify.com/firstsale.